Hey, early risers, how you guys doing? Welcome. So glad you got up early. Want to welcome those of you that are online as well. Hey, before we get into the message, I just want to mention last weekend. You know, if you were here last weekend, I gave an opportunity for people to publicly commit their lives to following Jesus. And over our 3 weekend services, we had 144 people make public commitments to follow Jesus. Yay, God. I mean, it was an amazing time. And if you happen to be one of those 144 people, first of all, I want to say congratulations. Like I said last weekend, that is one of the most, probably the most important decision you'll ever make in your lifetime. And then second of all, I told you last weekend that you have a very, very important next step coming up, and that's to be water baptized. We're going to have a water baptism toward the end of January. And if you're one of those 144 people, make sure you take our water baptism class. You can do it online and then sign up to whatever one of the 3 weekend services you want to be baptized in the end of January, because we want to be celebrating you being water baptized, okay, towards the end of January. All right, now I've been doing a series called The Kind of Church God Builds, because that's obviously the kind of church we want to build, is the kind that God builds. And today I want to talk about a church that fosters community. Community. Say the word community. A church that fosters community. Now, I'm going to be giving you a whole lot of statistics out of a book called Bowling Alone. And in this book, it's written by Dr. Robert Putnam, and he's a professor at Harvard University, and he's done a whole lot of research about the things that we're going to discuss today about community. And the title of the book, Bowling Alone, is borrowed from the fact that bowling leagues in America are virtually non-existent today. You know, back in the 1960s, nearly 8% of American men and 5% of American women belonged to a bowling league. Now, interestingly, the number of individuals who actually bowl today is higher than those percentages, but bowling leagues are virtually non-existent. You say, well, Brian, what's the big deal about that? Well, the point that Putnam is making is that the research shows that almost nobody in America, no adults in America, are involved in any kind of like team sports today. Almost all athletic activity has changed to individual sports. Again, you might say, well, Brian, what's the big deal about that? Well, what the research shows is what I've written in letter A there, is that in every measurable way, people in America are becoming massively more disconnected from one another. We are becoming isolated. We are becoming lonely. We are becoming more detached. You know, virtually every civic organization in America, groups like the American Legion, the Elks, the Rotary Club, Boy Scout leaders, Girl Scout leaders, the JCs, have suffered a massive decline in membership over the last 50 to 75 years. And these exact same trend lines also to apply to professional organizations as well. Things like the percentage of doctors in the AMA, the percentage of lawyers in the American Bar Association, the percentage of nurses in the American Nursing Association, the percentage of accountants in the American Institute of CPAs, and so forth. I mean, participation in virtually every professional organization is down, sometimes massively down. And it's not just civic groups and professional organizations that have seen a massive decline in participation. Religious participation in America is also way down over the last 50 to 75 years. More and more Catholics are becoming nominal. More and more Jews, more and more mainline Protestants are abandoning their religion altogether. And overall, church attendance in America, those rates have fallen from a high of about 48%. Almost half of Americans were attending church on any given weekend back in the late 1950s to today's rates, which are somewhere between 5 and 10% of Americans attending church on any given weekend. And by the way, that statistic is probably overinflated because people tend to overreport their church attendance. When people are surveyed and asked the question, how often do you go to church? People tend to overreport how often. I know none of you would ever do that. But those sinners that come at 11 o'clock, they would overreport all the time. Now, the only sort of denominations that are actually growing these days are those who ask for a higher commitment from their members. Groups like the Mormons, some of the evangelical denominations, and groups like the Vineyard. Also, the only kind of groups in America that are growing, listen to this, are church small groups and recovery groups. Isn't that interesting? Church small groups. Every other form of club meeting or civic organization is declining rapidly, but church small groups, like Bible study groups, small groups like we have here at the Vineyard, women's groups, men's groups, recovery groups, marriage groups, young adult groups, those are the groups that are actually growing in America. Now, not only has civic and religious participation gone way down in America over the last 50 years, look at letter B, but private connections between people has gone way down in the last 50 years too. Connections of friendships, family connections, informal get-togethers, those kinds of things have gone way, way down over the last 50 years. People get together with friends much less frequently today than they did 50 years ago. There are fewer dinner parties or people visiting friends today than, again, there were 50 years ago. And as far as families go, because of scheduling conflicts in families, families are eating together much less often today than they were even 25 years ago. Vacationing together as a family has fallen. Attending religious services as a family has fallen. Just sitting together and talking as a family has fallen. You know what all this means? Look at letter C. It means that there are fewer and fewer places to connect with people in order to build relationships with people. There's fewer and fewer places where we actually build community. However, do you know what's gone up in America over the last several years? Watching. Watching has gone way up. In place of doing, in place of participating, in place of relating, more and more Americans spend more and more time watching. In other words, we no longer actually have friends. Instead, we watch friends by streaming the show. The research shows we play fewer sports, and yet watching sports has gone way up. So we connect with people less. We visit with people less. We know our neighbors less well. We see old friends less often. But we watch. Now, why is all this important? Well, this is important for the simple reason that building community with other people is a biblical value. Building community with other people is a biblical value. And the reason that it's a biblical value is because it's actually good for us. It's good for us as human beings. The research shows that community is good for our health. Community is good for our mental health. Community is good for our economy. Community is good for our kids. Just think about it like this. Whenever people get isolated from one another, whenever we get increasingly detached from one another, our trust in our fellow man goes way down, right? And the research shows that the level of trust among Americans today has continually gone down for decades now. And do you know what we do when we don't actually trust each other? Do you know what we do? We hire lawyers. That's what we do. Lawyers give us artificial trust. I don't actually have to trust you if I can get it in writing. Do you know that there's been a massive growth in the number of lawyers in America today compared with the growth of the population? You know, just 50 years ago, there were far more doctors in America than there were lawyers. Now, there are 50% more lawyers than there are doctors. See, we no longer try to work out our differences with one another relationally. Now we just sue each other. I mean, the breakdown of community with each other has led to this massive increase in litigation and all the associated costs of litigation. It's actually become an enormous burden economically on our society. And this breakdown of community has also affected, according to the research, our children. Did you know that there's a direct correlation between the number and the quality of relationships that exist in a community and children's performance in school? The biggest issue in how kids perform in school is not the amount of money that we spend in schools. It's not even the class size. The biggest issue affecting student performance is the level, put number one up please, the level of relational connectedness. The level of relational connectedness. And what I mean by relational connectedness is the number of times that people have others over to their house. I mean family togetherness, parental involvement in schools. If we want schools to perform better, the research is crystal clear. We need to get families working together. We need to get families connected with each other. We need to get families connected with the school. So, community is good for us. It's good for us economically. It's good for us educationally. The research also shows that community is good for us medically and mentally. You say, what do you mean? Well, we all know that the depression rates in America are just going through the roof, right? And one of the things that's clear about depression, look at letter E, is that depression is absolutely linked to being disconnected socially, feeling like you have no one who's really close to you. You feel like you have no support network. You have no one in your life who will really listen to you. And did you know, letter F, that isolation and lack of community is also linked to addiction? In other words, the research shows that the more isolated we are, the more likely it is that we're going to become addicted to something. Food, sex, alcohol, drugs, self-abuse, porn. We're going to become addicted because you have no one there to encourage you. And the research also shows letter G, that the most disconnected people in America are young people. People under the age of 30. And these young people, those people under the age of 30, are also significantly less happy than older people. And by older people, the research says people over the age of 55. You know, people much, much older than, say, me. People over the age of 55. So what's going on? I mean, young people have a lot more stuff than older people did at their age. Yet they have less community. They have less family. They have less networking. They have less support. And so they end up being less happy. The research also shows that community is good for our health. It's good for our health. The research shows that the more connected you are with other people, the more connected, the better your physical health is going to be. The fewer heart attacks you'll have less high blood pressure, and you'll have less serious health problems. The Bible says, letter H, community is not only good for us in all kinds of ways, but it's also necessary for us. It's necessary. We've been studying John 17 in this series. And remember, John 17 is the longest recorded prayer of Jesus in the Bible. It's 26 verses long. It's all one prayer. Jesus praying to God the Father. And we pick up in verse 20 of John 17 where Jesus is praying. And he says, I'm praying not only for these disciples, meaning the ones right around him, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. By the way, that's us. He says in verse 21, I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. And then look at Jesus' praise in verse 23. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity. Another way to say that is, may they experience such incredible community that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Over and over and over, the Bible says that we desperately need relationship with each other. And Jesus prays here in John 17 for a deep quality of relationship among his followers. He's praying that we would be one, right? That we would be unified. That we would be together. That we would deeply connect with each other. He prays for our unity over and over and over if you read all of John 17. And why does Jesus do that? Because Jesus knows community is not just good for us. It's necessary for us. Jesus knows we can't really exist unless we have deep relationships. And the research shows babies need deep relationships. Toddlers need deep relationships. Elementary school age kids need deep relationships. Teenagers need deep relationships. Single adults need deep relationships. Married people, parents, older people, we all need deep relationships. And we need these deep relationships not only with Jesus, but also with one another. I mean, in all these verses that we've read, in John 17, Jesus is comparing the kind of oneness that he enjoys with the Father to the oneness and unity that he's praying that we will have as his followers with one another. See, here's the idea. The Bible says that we as human beings are created in the image of God. We've been created in the image of God. And one of the things that means is that we as human beings are to reflect out into the world something of the very nature of God. We're to reflect who God is really like. God intended that what He's really like would be reflected out into the world through us as human beings. Well, what is God really like? Well, first of all, God is essentially a relational being. A relational being. From all of eternity, God has existed as what's known as a triune being. Tri meaning three. You might know we worship God the Father, we worship God the Son, we worship God the Spirit. God is one being existing in three persons. And this is called the Trinity. So the Trinity, three persons from eternity, mutually loving, mutually supporting, mutually indwelling one another. They have had community from before eternity began. And so when God created us as human beings, He created us male and female. Why? Because the essential way that we get an image of God in the world is through community, through loving relationships with each other. And we need those kinds of loving relationships to live as much as we need food and water to live. That's why it's one of the worst things that you can ever do to a human being is to put them in solitary confinement. It's worse than beating them. Because when people are cut off from all human contact, they mentally break down. It's dehumanizing to sit in an apartment alone, day after day after day. It's dehumanizing to sit in a house day after day after day, all by yourself. It's dehumanizing to sit and stare at a screen all day long. And deep down, all of us know that. Everybody knows that. And so people today, because of our lack of community, we will do almost anything in order to find a relationship of some kind. I mean, just look at the number of online dating sites these days. Look at the number of people who spend hours and hours and hours on social media these days. Why do we do that? Because we're looking for some kind of a relationship, some kind of a connection with somebody. Why are relationships necessary for us? Look at letter L. Because when we don't have connection with other people, we substitute other things to fill our relational void. We substitute things like drugs, food, alcohol, overworking, promiscuous sex. And when we do that, what we're saying deep down is, well, at least my body is going to be connected with another body. Even if I don't really have anybody who's going to be there for me when I need them, but at least I'll be connected with a body. That's why we do those kind of things. All right. I've given you a whole bunch of really bad news up to this point. And you're dismissed. No, I'm kidding. Now I'm going to give you some good news. Okay, some good news. Do you know what the research shows about the effect of church and going to church? In all the ways that the breakdowns of social relationships negatively affect us, they negatively affect us economically, the breakdown of our relationships affects us, you know, negatively in education, mentally, mental health, all that. relationships in the church have the exact opposite effect. For example, in the inner city, one of the best predictors of whether your young person is going to be able to find a good full-time job when they grow up, listen to this, is whether or not they regularly go to church in their teenage years. In fact, Putnam says, according to his research, if a state like Arizona wanted to dramatically improve the performance of students in school, one of the best things that that state could do was to make sure that kids go to church at least twice a month. In terms of a person's physical health, listen to this. It's a medical toss-up whether you either choose to stop smoking or you get connected in a local church. Now, we all know smoking is really bad for our health, right? But the health improvements of getting connected to a church is about the same as the health improvement of stopping smoking. Some of you need to tell this to your non-church-going smoking friends. You need to say to them, hey, start coming to the Vineyard with me. You'll be healthier and you don't even have to stop smoking. How about a person's sense of happiness and well-being? Well, the research shows that you can get about the same amount of happiness boost by either doubling your income or getting connected in a local church. Both of those will give a person about the same happiness boost. In fact, Putnam says this, concerning happiness and church going, the statistics are clear. The more often you attend church, the happier you'll be. Church makes us happy. Why do you think church makes us happy? Well, there are a lot of reasons. But one of the reasons is just because of the relationships that you begin to make with other people when you start getting involved in a local church. Just getting involved with other people, it will make you happy. Now, obviously, let her in, the most important thing that happens when you connect in a church is that you begin to experience Jesus. But let me ask you this. How do you think a person experiences Jesus best? Yes, you can connect with Jesus in a spiritual retreat all by yourself. Yes, you can connect with Jesus through your personal prayer life and Bible reading and personal devotions, all that. That's why it's important for us to do those things. But the Bible says, look at number one, it's impossible to grow spiritually in our love for Jesus without developing love for each other. So if you want to grow as a Christian, if you want to get to know God better, if you want to fall more in love with Jesus, look at what the Apostle John says, how to do it. He says in 1 John 4, no one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. In other words, you cannot have a full experience of God unless you are personally, relationally, and spiritually connected with other followers of Jesus in the fellowship of a local church. So let me stop and ask you this question. Do you have deep connections with other people in this church family? Those of you that are online, do you have deep connections with other people in this church family? And again, I'm not just talking about showing up, you know, for weekend services. Although some of you need to make a bigger commitment to just doing that. But I'm talking about deep relationships that you've actually developed with some other people in this church family because you've gone to a small group together with them for a while. Or because you serve together in a particular ministry with those same people on a regular basis. When you do that, you know what happens? You make deep connections. Some of you are doing that. Or maybe you make deep connections because you're really consistent in going to women's evening every month. And you connect with some women at your table. Or you're really consistent in going to Momentum, the men's group, every month. And you sit with the same men and you're developing relationships that way. There are lots of ways to do it. But you need to do it. Because if you don't do that, you're never going to really grow as a follower of Jesus the way that God wants you to. And if you'll begin to get connected with some other followers of Jesus in this church family, you'll be amazed at what happens in your spiritual life. I mean, why do we urge deep connections with other people here at the Vineyard? And why does Jesus urge us to have deep connections with other followers of His? Yes, because it's necessary for us. That's one reason. But did you know that Jesus also wants us to do that with each other because it's actually necessary for the world? It's necessary for the world. Look back at what Jesus prays in verse 20, John 17. I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. And then he says, I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, underline this last part. Why? So that the world will believe you sent me. See, community is not just about us. In fact, when church becomes all about us, all about how connected we feel, then we're no better than the typical American consumer basically says, well, what's in it for me? You know, it's like when people come here to worship and afterwards they say to their friend, well, you know, I really didn't get much out of worship today. Well, the fact is, worshiping God is not about you. Did you know that? This is going to blow some of you away. We didn't gather together here today to worship you. We gathered together to worship who? To worship God. So the question is not whether we were pleased with our worship today. The question is, was God pleased with our worship? That's the question. And likewise, the relevant question regarding community is not just, well, what is the church doing for me? But what is the church doing for the world? See, the Bible says that the relationships that Christians have with one another will prove to the world that the Father sent the Son. Look at Jesus' praise back in verse 23. I am in them, you are in me. May they experience such incredible community, underline this, that the world will know that you sent me. How will the world know that God the Father sent Jesus into the world to die for our sins? By looking at the quality of relationships among followers of Jesus. In other words, the way the world will judge whether or not you and I are followers of Jesus and will judge whether or not there's anything that's real to this thing called Christianity is by observing the love that exists or doesn't exist among people who claim to be Christians. That's what the world cares about. The world does not care about what you believe about the Bible. They could care less. The world is asking Christians one question. What's the quality of your love? The world is saying this. Is there something compelling about your community in a world of radical disconnect? I mean, do you understand how absolutely attractive a place would be if people really loved each other? Especially when people are so different. Different races, different ethnicities, different income levels, different ages, all that. I mean, you can't go anywhere to any organization anymore and see that kind of love. You can't find love by going to an HOA meeting. The final defense of Christianity is, man, look at how much they love each other. That's our defense. So where do you fit in? I want to ask you this last question. Would the love you have for other people in this church make the world stand up and take notice? Would the world say, wow, they really do love each other? See, again, the reason we have small groups in this church, the reason we have opportunities for you to serve with other people, the reason we have things like Women's Evening and Momentum and all that, is because there is no way for you to get deeply connected with 4,000 other people who attend every weekend on two different campuses. You can't do it. So you have to make some decisions that you're going to get connected another way. It's not just through attendance. Get connected through a serving group. Get connected through the food bank. Get connected in a small group. Get connected through Women's Evening or Momentum or something. That's how you do it. Now, obviously, in our culture today, the very best thing that we have to offer the world is a relationship with Jesus. But the second best thing that we have to offer the world is an opportunity for them to form deep, loving, committed relationships with some other people in a church family like this one. Because part of the kind of church that God builds is a church that fosters community. Would you pray with me? I don't know what God may have spoken to you about through this message, but whatever it is, would you just say yes to the Lord? I think for some of you, God is giving you another push, or maybe a push for the first time. Get involved in a small group. Get involved in a serving opportunity. Get involved in Momentum. Get involved in Women's Evening. Get involved so you can begin making some real relationships. Maybe there's something else that you need to speak to God about just in these last moments. You know, in my prayer time today, I felt like God spoke to me about an area of ministry that we're supposed to do today. And obviously, ministry is going to be open to anybody, but I really feel like God is saying, I want to touch young people. I want to touch people who are 30 and under. Maybe you're lonely. Maybe you need a job. Maybe you need healing. There's a million things that God could do in your life, but I think that God wants us to pray for young people. And so before we go, if you're a young person, young meaning 30 and under, I'd love for you to receive prayer from some of our ministry team members. Again, if you would like prayer and you're not a young person, you're welcome to come up and receive prayer as well. But I really feel like God wants to minister to some young people today. So before we go, if you want to stand, I want to pray a blessing. I'd like the ministry team to come to the front. And then I'd like, especially if you're a young person and you're willing to receive prayer, we'd love to lay our hands on you and pray God's blessing in your life, or if there's anything specific that you would like prayer for as a young person. Let me pray for all of us before we go. Lord, thank you for your presence with us. And I pray, God, as we go, that you'd bless each one of us. Bless us, keep us, cause your face to shine upon us, be gracious to us. Lift up your favor upon us, God, and give us peace. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Hey, happy Thanksgiving. God bless you. Don't forget to pray for our Tuesday night outreach. It's a great ministry. Pray for that. God bless you. We'll see you soon. Again, if you're 30 and under, I really encourage you to come to the front. We would love, 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 love to lay our hands on you and pray for you in whatever area you would like to receive prayer. God bless you. We'll see you soon.